configuring the Bluetooth, deciding who controls the music, avoiding potholes, remembering where you parked. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners Insurance, getting the right coverage for your vehicle doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who live in your community and answer when you call, so you can get back to more important things, like remembering if you're on the third or fourth level of the parking garage. That's simple human sense. Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you realize that you are being judged based on aspects of your identity? I just shared before the break some of what's happening with the idea of identity politics just in the COVID-19 package. You know, you've got an illegal alien in your home, you can get $1,400 worth of stimulus. And by the way, if you're a white farmer right next to a Hispanic or a black farmer, and under the COVID relief, if you're a white farmer, you're not going to get any relief. But if you are black or if you are Hispanic, you'll get relief. Now, let me ask you a question. Is that what America is all about? Or is that a move to further divide America? That's just one example. I am excited to have my guest back with us. He was with us a few weeks ago. Unfortunately, his role on the 1776 Commission was eliminated, at least by King Biden. Now, the principles are still there. The report ought to be read. But we're going to talk about his new book, The Plight to Change America, How Identity Politics is Dividing the Land of the Free. And Michael Gonzalez is the Angelus T. Arredondo Senior Fellow on the E Pluribus Unum at the Heritage Foundation in Washington, D.C. And if you don't think that's a mouthful, I can tell you it is. He spent close to 20 years as a journalist, 15 of them writing from Europe, Asia, and right here in our backyard, Latin America. He left journalism to join the Bush administration, where he was the speechwriter for the Securities and Exchange Commission Chairman Christopher Cox, before going on to the State Department's European Bureau, where he wrote speeches again, as well as op-eds. Now, since 2009, we are delighted that he's been at the Heritage Foundation. That's heritage.org. If you'd like to put a favorite tab on that website, you need to be following him. He writes there on national security, diversity, multiculturalism, assimilation, nationalism, as well as foreign policy in general. Mike, you were with us just a few weeks ago, but Mike Gonzalez, good to have you back.
Bill, God bless you, and thanks a lot for having me back.
Well, where do we even begin? Some people don't even realize that the assault is on. Some people are already a victim of identity politics and don't recognize it. Other folks, well, it may be happening, but oh, well, what can I do? Where do we start here? I'll let you command the ship.
Well, I mean, a lot of what you said is completely true. All of it is true. There are people who don't know what is happening, and that's the reason I wrote my book, The Plot to Change America, to expose what's going on. And there are people who really understand it, are very troubled by it, but do not speak out because they're afraid. They're afraid of being canceled. They're afraid that the children are going to be expelled from school, or they're going to lose their livelihood, or they're going to be made social pariahs. And that is happening, unfortunately, in the land of the free. I wrote my book, so we will remain the land of the free. The reason why I called it The Plot to Change America is not because there are people that are meeting in secret basements in Madison, Wisconsin every Thursday, but it's because this division of the country into what are ascriptive characteristics, right? These are inherited characteristics. You inherit your race, your national origin, your sex, et cetera. Things that you cannot change are immutable. This division of America into these identity categories has a purpose. There's a reason for it. The members, first of all, the categories will be categories of the marginalized. Most of them will be marginalized, the oppressed,
yes,
and
yes.
Then there will be the oppressors. And if you happen to be assigned, because this is the government doing that. You just spoke about Hispanics. Hispanics is created synthetically by the Office of Management and Budget in 1977 through Policy Directive number 15. This may come as a shock to you listeners, but Hispanic, quote-unquote, statistics do not begin till 1980. If you look at any graph, you'll see the arrow begins in 1980 or thereafter. Before that, there are no Hispanics. They are Mexican-Americans, of course, or Cuban-Americans, or Puerto Ricans, but they're brought together into this synthetic category. Another example of synthetic categories are the 32 genders of the New York City Human Rights Commission. Obviously, there are two biological sexes, but the New York City Human Rights Commission has 32 genders created by government fiat. And then the members of this is an important thing, and then I'll stop because I'm sure you want to ask questions. The members of these categories are then instilled with grievances, with a sense of victimhood. And that sense of victimhood is supposed to cook up there until it acts as a catalyst for changing America. You want to change society. If you believe that America is structurally, institutionally, and systemically racist, you want to change all the institutions, the structures, and the very system. The system is just a word for the way everything works, right, Bill? So yes. That is the plot. There it is. I laid it out for you. All the people who are involved in this, all the activists, all the hard left militants who do these things, all want to do this. They don't like our capitalist system. They don't like free markets. They don't like our representative democracy system, and they want to change it into something else. And that is what your listeners need to be very aware of. The exposure to the facts is the first thing before you can act.
Now, I want our listeners to just consider one thing, and we're talking to Mike Gonzalez with Heritage, heritage.org, his book, The Plot to Change America. I want our listeners to remember back to Hollywood, remember McCarthyism, remember just as we were rooting out a class of people, communists, and we see that happening today just in the last few days again in Hollywood. You don't think the way they want you to think, you're out. Now, think about this. Think about all sorts of different categories or subcategories with the idea that anybody who, and now with Facebook and Twitter and how we have been manipulated by the big tech social platforms, hey, it's all about me. It's not about you. It's about me. And by the way, I win any way I can win as long as you're the loser. So you put that together. And then you want to rebuild America and have it say goodbye to the Republic, say goodbye to democracy. Everybody's got a story, so we're all going to join together, and the government's going to take care of everything for us. So now we have socialism. Understand, my listeners, what I've been telling you over and over and what Mike Gonzalez is pointing out. They're not doing this in out-of-the-way places. It's out there right in the open. The problem is our complacency. Mike, just kind of share a little bit about that.
Well, you know, it's not complacency in the sense that some people understand what is happening, but they're afraid to do something about it, Bill. By the way, here's a quote. This is a quote by Orwell that is so apt that I have to tell you. It's like, power is the beginning of the quote. Power is in tearing human minds to pieces and putting them together again in new shapes of your own choosing. That is Orwellian. That's from 1984, and that is what is being done right now. And Americans understand this. They don't like it. Many Americans do understand it. Others, all the things that I'm saying are maybe brand new to them, but there are many people who do get it. But they just want to lead their lives, Bill. This is a conundrum because I don't want to tell your listeners here to do anything that's going to get them fired or canceled on social media or have repercussions on in the lives of their children. But, you know, the first thing to do is learn the facts, go to reputable websites, buy my book. I almost quote exclusively leftist sources. I don't quote many, many conservative sources because the left really is very open about what it wants. You go to Herbert Marcuse or Antonio Gramsci or Angela Davis, they're all very clear about what they want. Same, by the way, with Alicia Garza, Patrice Couleurs, or Paul Tometi of the Black Lives Matter organizations. So I quote them. and their agenda is very clear. So I think that the one thing to tell, I don't think that people are just accommodating and going along. They have a well-founded fear of having their lives canceled, and that is a sad reality, but it is the reality.
Mm. Let's talk about victimhood, the term victimhood, and that is the common thread through so much of the initiatives for these different groups that further dividing the nation. You know, the idea is whatever the perception of the haves and the have-nots, the idea is to flip that around and to have that function in a totally opposite approach by the government. Now, when you talk about this idea about a victimhood, you know, when I grew up, everybody had a responsibility to their neighbors. We looked out for our neighbors. This is what I taught from both of my parents who served in World War II. And it wasn't about the fact, oh, I'm a victim. It's what can I do for others? Now, clearly, there have been some elements of our culture that certainly have been victims. And I know we're talking about slavery and in those areas, the civil rights movement, I get it. But today, instead of us being strong and being independent, you start thinking about being a victim, and then everybody owes you something. And when everybody thinks about that collectively, that just invites Marxism, doesn't it?
Well, yes. And let me just touch on two items. You're quite right that Black Americans were victimized throughout our history. And in fact, I don't have a chapter on Black Americans in my book, because this is a unique set of people who were enslaved. There's nothing worse than that. Then there was 100 years of segregation and all that. But I'm talking about the people who really start doing this in the 60s and 70s begin to analogize the experience of the members of other categories to the experience of Black Americans, something which is false. You know, Italians were discriminated against, Jews were discriminated against, Mexican Americans were discriminated against, but nobody has suffered on the same level as Black Americans. That is just a falsehood.
Mike, first of all, let's talk about victimhood, and tell us what you were going to say about victimhood, and then we only got like 6 minutes, 7 minutes, but the idea here is also, how have we been so blessed as a nation? There certainly have been some victims, but it can't be on the scale that they're suggesting. Talk about that as the last topic.
So look, it was the sociologists Bradley Campbell and Jason Manning who came up with the idea of victimhood culture. It used to be in America that you derived your sense of dignity and your claims to acclaim and sympathy from the fact that you had overcome the curves that life always throws at all of us, right? That you had achieved things despite your setbacks. Now it's the opposite. Now you use your claims to victimhood as the way to attract sympathy, reward, attention, even compensatory justice, etc. Now, the important thing here is, Bill, you said haves and have-nots. That actually gets it wrong, because a lot of this, quote-unquote, marginalized people are very wealthy. In fact, a lot of the people who benefit from, quote-unquote, having compensatory justice because of their marginalized status are people who have no need for needs-based resources. So this is absurd at several different levels. What happens, though, when you have a culture of victimhood? Well, first of all, if you derive rewards from being a victim, you have zero incentive to stop being a victim. No problems ever get solved. Number two is the promise is that it's through the collective action of the victims that they're going to overthrow the system and come up with another system. And what we end up then having, as you said, the most prosperous, the most free society on earth, having that system change into something that doesn't work, that is actually perverse. So, look, that doesn't mean America is perfect. America is humans are flawed. You and I believe that we are flawed.
Yes.
That you can never reach perfection on earth. And you have to work with our flaws to come up with a system that benefits all. And I think the free market system does that, right? Okay, Adam Smith said that it is from the self-interest of the butcher, the baker, that we get the bread and our bread and our beer from the brewer. you work with those flaws. You work with self-interest. What the left wants to do with this victimhood culture is completely to transform America again. Why I call my book "The Plot to Change America," and the culture of victimhood is a deep, complete difference from what we used to have.
And I tell you what, where do you see this? Do you see that will this eventually be an overreach and we'll be able to sort of push this back? Do you think we're going to get roll on this? What's your prediction for the future?
Oh, I think Americans love liberty. I think that I'm actually optimistic. I think that even though it looks pretty bleak at the moment because this is advancing and very fast, I think people are actually getting it. I think this is an inflection point. I think people are – I keep hearing from parents who don't like what's happening at their schools, or there's children's schools. People who don't like what's happening in the workplace, whether they're undergoing, you know, workplace harassment, that masquerading as anti-racism trainings. I think that a lot of people – this is the beginning of real discomfort here about what the left, what the progressives are trying to implement. And I don't think that in the end I'm optimistic. I think that we will continue to be a free country, a free prosperous country. We'll continue to have to improve ourselves. You know, there are people who are left behind. There are racial disparities. We have to find a way to address those remedies that do work, not the remedies that are being proposed at the moment.
Well, I want to tell you, I highly recommend you must have an understanding of what's happening, and you must understand that this is a very completely thought out assault. It's going to continue to divide America. It's going to continue to produce racist divisions rather than bringing us together, more to divide us. It's called identity politics. It is dividing us. And Mike Gonzalez has a very, very cogent analysis, and you need to get a copy of his book, The Plot to Change America, How Identity Politics is Dividing the Land of the Free. Mike Gonzalez can be also contacted at heritage.org. Mike Gonzalez, hey, thanks for being back with us. Look forward to our next visit.
Thanks a lot, Bill. God bless.
God bless.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.